Welcome back to Cargumentative, a show where three grumpy middle-aged men who think Agenda is a place near Kenya argue and rant about all things cars and motoring. As usual, I'm your host from the Sunday Times, Thomas Faulkner, and I'm joined by the usual crew.
Middle-aged yourself, Mark Paluta.
I think I'm just below middle-aged.
Well, middle-aged.
Middle-aged, Nadav.
Middle-aged in spirit.
What is actual middle-age?
It's a good question.
It depends. I think back in the 1800s.
These days,
60. Yeah, back in the 1800s, we were old-age.
Yeah. That's right. So we're missing a crew member.
Yeah, where is Mike?
It's a bit awkward, actually.
He's rimming and running.
He's rubbing.
He's on the rim run, which is a thing.
He's rubbing shoulders with men.
With men.
Boys only club.
Yeah. Mm.
Don't mix that up with a gentleman's club. Yeah. Boys only is very
boys
different.
Only. Rim run. We wish you
all the
a
best,
speedy recovery, Mike.
Yeah. What do they actually do? So they basically
we don't
want to
get in. You can't get into it on a podcast.
But
family friendly.
Essentially, they migrate daily from one hotel or motel to the next.
Get very drunk,
and get back in the cars, very hungover.
Yes. No, they don't take cars. No, they Uber everywhere.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not about the cars.
It's not about the cars.
So then all those American cars.
No, those weren't
22-inch wheels.
No, you got the wrong idea.
Okay. So it's wholesome family fun.
Enjoy, Mark. We hope you're having a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for losing us again.
Yeah, again. Again and again. Guys, news.
What's
been
in
quite
the news?
A quiet week.
Has it?
Yeah, car-wise.
I don't think so.
What about the new Aston Martin GT? No, McLaren GT.
Same thing, whatever, hey, right? Aston Martin, McLaren, nice.
So,
British
McLaren,
car GT.
McLaren makes supercars that are very fast and very focused and quite soulless, really.
Yeah.
They're
soulless.
Yeah, it's supercars. No, they are.
I've driven
many of them.
It's a sweeping statement.
I've driven one and it's fantastic.
It's an engineer's car built for engineers.
I disagree completely.
They're built to be as focused and as sharp and complete, you know.
There's soul in that.
No, there's not.
Anyway, the new car is a GT. So they've made it, more comfortable?
Well, that's
more
what
luggage
saying.
Space?
You see, a couple of years ago, I flew to the Canary Islands. It's a very long way to go to drive a McLaren 570 GT. And this is where the whole GT story begins.
Okay.
With McLaren. So they took a normal 570. They put some leather on the dashboard. And
they covered up the engine bay and
covered up the engine
luggage
bay.
Space.
Yeah, and they called it a GT.
Yeah.
And it was anything but a GT. It was cramped. It was uncomfortable. It was flawed. It kind of reminded me in concept like that of the Lotus Europa S, which also basically had leather on the dashboard. And
so I've seen some pictures and I've watched some stuff and I've read some stuff about this GT.
Mm.
So you can fit a set of golf clubs in it.
Yeah. Is that still relevant though? Because I
heard it's just demonstrating size.
Mountain biking is the new golf.
It is. So it's just demonstrating size.
Okay.
So you can fit decent luggage in the thing. They've also made the interior more comfortable. It's a more plush, comfortable place to be. I think they've changed the motor to give off a slightly more V8-y kind of note, so it's not as supercar and more like a burble.
Well, they've never really sounded. I mean,
they haven't sounded great, but
they
this
sound like V6.
Promises to sound better.
Yeah.
And then they've changed some of the steering. So they've done what myself and the Dove have been searching for a billion years, which is a car that can be used daily and driven as a GT, and at the touch of a button. Becomes a proper track weapon.
Do you know it's called the Porsche 911?
No, I don't know if anyone's ever got it right.
Oh, they have.
Well said.
Believe me.
Yeah, because this, no, but...
But McLaren themselves admit that there are a lot of competitors. They're not trying to break new ground. They're actually, it's quite a big move, I think, commercially, because they're stepping into an area of the market that's actually quite cramped.
Yeah, so Bentley Continental GT.
Bentley Continental GT, Porsche 911 Turbo, Turbo S, Ferrari Portofino.
Aston DB11 and S.
DBS, yeah. And even something like an R8, you know, in terms of usability, you know, mid-engine usable. So there's a lot of competition here, and I think it's quite brave. And I must say, I quite like the look of the thing.
Yeah, it does look good, especially from behind.
That's
the first photos I saw were of its hindquarters, and I think it's a very good looking car.
It is. I especially like the launch color. Well, the
copper.
Yeah, I love it.
It's like a copper.
It's fantastic.
I think it's a great looking thing, and I think it's less scallopy than the sort of Ultimate Series and the Sports Series cars, and it's kind of a little bit more defined. Some people are calling it more boring. I actually think it's quite a good looking thing.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of the original. What is it called?
The MP4.
12.
Yeah, MP4 12C.
It's exactly like an evolution of that.
Right. I totally agree with you. And I think that's a good thing because the styling on that, I don't know if our listeners have had a look. In the, I think, 8 short years, believe it or not, since the MP4 12C was launched, McLaren's comeback, that design has aged really nicely.
It has.
It's a really good car.
And you know what? You're right. That car was more subtle than later stuff. And this is more subtle again.
Yeah.
Less dividing.
Okay.
But
wait
to see
the reviews.
What is interesting is I saw an interview with the lead designer of the car, and he's young. Mm. He's probably early 30s.
He is also really boring.
So he's also middle aged.
Yeah, but
it's the same interview.
They're bringing some really young stuff to Aston, which is McLaren. Sorry.
Same thing, whatever.
Same. Yeah. It's not really, but yeah. Good looking car.
Okay. So I'll be interested to see if it pans out. As a real GT, you know, as an alternative to the companies like Aston, who've been doing this for decades.
Yeah.
Or Porsche, who I still think make the best all-round do-it-all sports car.
Yeah, they do.
You're probably right.
This might just be a bit quicker. So this might be more competitive with, say, would it align itself within the 911 range?
So when you're posting a lap time...
Turbo S.
When you're posting your next lap time from city deep to four ways, and you can scrape like... 0.8 hundredth of a second.
Yeah.
By moving from a Porsche to a McLaren, it's going to make it all worth it.
Absolutely.
There's something to be said about a Porsche being a 911 being a little bit ubiquitous. No. So if you want something slightly more special, something
fully agree.
I don't want to stand out. I want to blend in.
You're so average.
You do that so well. What else is in the news, Tom?
Okay, so you guys know a little bit about sport and athletics.
Not
really.
Even slightly.
Do you know a man called Usain Bolt?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So Usain
Bolt. I underestimated myself.
Yeah. Underestimated you. He backs a company called Bolt.
Okay.
Which make electric cars. Okay. Yeah. So they've announced they've got this new little city car. It's kind of like that Renault Twizy that you drove.
Yeah. Okay.
It's called a Bolt B Nano. And it's a teeny little thing, one plus one, with a 25-kilometer range. And it's just designed for going around town.
I like that.
It's pretty cool.
That is cool. Have you got a picture?
We'll call one
up just now.
Yeah, but...
we'll post one on our Instagram feed.
It's made primarily for car sharing.
Ah.
So overseas they've got that whole thing. But I mean, I'd like to see that as a cheap form of entry-level electronic car. Because 25Ks, for someone like me...
Perfect.
On a Dove.
Hmm.
A Dove can scoot to work.
Okay.
Yeah, it's perfect.
You, maybe not. I don't know. No. So yeah, that's kind of cool.
Did we ever say who bought that Bugatti?
Yeah, we did.
The black car.
We did.
The man who plays the balls.
Oh, I wasn't here.
Well,
you should listen to our podcast.
You
should.
Yeah.
I'll try.
What else is in the news? Porsche Cayman.
Nah, there can't be news on that.
There's news on the Cayman.
The 718.
Yeah.
So when the 718 came out,
they discontinued it.
It was a four-cylinder. Yeah. Everybody said, "Okay, well, we kind of accept this because it's the way forward."
Nobody said
emissions.
That.
A lot of people did.
Nobody
said that.
A lot of the press did.
Maybe they did, but none of the customers did, which is why they haven't sold any.
Anyway, so as you know, they're bringing out the GT4 version of that, which is going to have a six-cylinder, and they're also bringing out another six-cylinder, a GT4 Touring. So
GT4 Touring 718.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So
why could you not tell me this before 10 o'clock this morning?
I don't know. I thought you knew. Right. You know?
The Dove's got something new up his sleeve.
I think I know about that. But it's kind of interesting because it seems to me that as you said, the 718 hasn't been a big success. And people are saying, guys, we missed that six-cylinder. And I actually think the six-cylinder gave people better fuel economy. Yeah, and
But the price point on that six-cylinder is going to be ridiculous. So it's almost going to be irrelevant.
But maybe...
It's not like it's coming to market and now the people that wanted the six-cylinder can have it because they can't.
But
it's going to be too expensive.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. So maybe going forward, they might bring it back. I don't know.
Maybe.
It's possible.
No, they got rid of that silly 912 at one point in history.
Oh, yeah. What a shame.
All the six-cylinder GT engines are now WLTP compliant. So in other words, they've done the emissions work to make them emissions compliant with the new testing laws. And so
they can go ahead and
stick them in pretty much anything, which is what they've done with the Speedster.
They should do it in the Macan.
WLT what?
WLTP.
Is that like... World
Lightweight
Test Protocol.
It's the new emissions testing after the whole Dieselgate scandal. Yeah, it's the new emissions testing protocol. And
there was some other news. What else was there?
Somebody stole a Ferrari, which used to belong to Eddie Irvine.
I totally saw that.
Yeah, did you see that?
What a crazy story.
A man in Germany wanted to buy this car.
They went on a joyride and then they found it.
No, do you know what happened? So the man who was selling this car, okay, met up with the client and they went for a drive. And then they switched. So obviously, the man was driving it, and the client was in the passenger seat. And then they switched over. And then, as they were doing the switcheroo,
he pulled off.
He pulled off.
And wouldn't you have been tempted to do that in a 288 GTR?
I would have.
Yeah.
And then they found it in a garage.
He was just acting impulsively.
Yeah. So
he realized he was wrong. A few hours later.
No.
Thought it was too hot to handle.
Too hot to handle.
Dropped it off.
That's kind of cool. I mean, like he can. Sit in the bar.
Where was that? In Switzerland or something?
No, Germany.
Germany.
Düsseldorf, if I remember correctly.
Düsseldorf, yeah. That's the one.
What else is happening this week?
What else?
All the first tests on the Supra are out. Let's not get into it.
Oh, gosh.
But there's so much press coming out at the moment, video test drives and lots of reviews. And the bottom line is, it's good. At least it's good. It's not bad. Okay?
It's not bad.
Now it's because to see it's how
because
good it is.
It's a BMW.
Okay, fine.
But it's an ugly BMW. And then that's it's like a Bangle BMW.
And then we're expecting in the next week, keep an eye out for the all the news on the 911 Speedster. So the launch was happening in the last week in Europe.
Mm.
And so driving impressions should be coming out very, very soon. I think the embargo lifts any day now.
Yeah, it looks
loud.
The roof mechanism looks really funky. I've seen some videos of that.
And I didn't realize it has a bespoke engine, which makes me a lot more excited.
Yeah, it does.
So that's pretty cool. But again, we've discussed that at length. So
we haven't, dude.
We'll move on.
One last thing.
Yes?
You have more things?
The Toyota Supra is very ugly. I have to say it again.
Well, fine. Moving on.
They're working with something that wasn't...
The interior is better than the Z4. Yeah. I sat in the new Z4 in the UK. Very plasticky. No, but now we've seen... the interior of the Supra properly, and it's better. Anyway, carry on.
Anyway,
as you were.
So a little bit of motorsport. Formula One. They're talking to Marrakesh and Kyle Army about hosting a new race.
We've heard this race. 20 years in a row.
I know, but this is
this time it's real.
This is hot off the.
Yeah, this time we promise.
And it was interesting because I went down to Cape Town to do a Lambo drive earlier this week.
Did you?
Toby Fenter was there.
Oh,
said he
was
had,
he?
Yes. And he had been speaking to Jean Todt.
Huh?
Who's Toby Fenter? Tell the listeners who don't know.
Toby Fenter owns LSM distributors. So Porsche, Lamborghini.
And Kyle Army.
Bentley.
And Kyle Army and Bentley.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And previously Ducati. But, okay, that's interesting.
That.
There's a technical issue here, though, because I remember when they were renovating Kyle Army, and it's been an incredible renovation.
Incredible.
That they specifically targeted an FIA grading for the track.
Mm.
Which was one below the grading for Formula One.
Yeah, so it's currently grade 2.
It's currently grade 2 FIA certified track.
So it would need some beefing up.
Yeah, and I think that beefing up was out of the question at the time in terms of budget. And so my understanding is that as it stands, it can't host Formula One. So
I wonder what that entails. Anyway, what about their Blancpain series? Wasn't that supposed to...
It's coming.
It's in my diary. November.
When is it? Oh, nice.
Dates good. Moved later a little bit, but it's in November, and we will be doing an outside broadcast from the Blancpain.
We will.
Kyle Army 9 Hour. I'll be there.
I will also be there.
I'll be there as well. So, yeah, I think that's it for news, guys. It hasn't been a very eventful week.
I think you just forgot to read the news, Tom.
No, I didn't.
To be honest, there was a lot.
No, there was not. It's been a quiet time. We're going to have a quick break, and we'll be back with you again shortly.
This aircon is racist.
For the latest political news
and in-depth discussion and analysis
on events making headlines in South Africa's socio-political space,
join myself, Amil Amrao, and my comrades from the Sunday Times Politics Desk for our Sunday Times Politics Weekly podcast. You can find new weekly episodes on the Times Live website every Wednesday.
This is not a shared view.
Can you please come in?
Welcome back to Cargumentative. Guys, in this segment, I thought we could have a nice little chat about something that's quite cool when it comes to cars. And it's known as homologation. Nadav?
Homologation.
What does it mean, Tom?
Well, I'm asking Nadav. Because Nadav is, as we all know, the resident anorak.
The anorak's anorak.
So I could tell you, but it would be better for Nadav to explain.
Look, I don't know if that's true, but I'm going to try. Homologation means that a certain part or a certain car needs to be designed for a particular purpose for a particular racing series, usually. So, in other words, a racing series has its own rules. If you want to be part of the racing series, you have to comply to those rules. And the parts on your car and the car itself need to be homologated to those rules. So, some of the rules over the years, and this is where it all got interesting, some of the rules over the years said that in order to race in this series, you need to create a road version of this racing car.
Correct.
And we call those the homologation specials.
Yeah.
And there's some rich pickings.
They are so...
Wow. We could talk about this for literally hours.
Because they're so awesome, because they're essentially just racing cars.
Yes.
With indicators and maybe a couple of other things.
Well, you know,
emissions and
there's a spectrum of them, and some of them are closer to racing cars than others.
Correct,
but in the end, they were intended to be driven in anger in the crucible of racing, and it just makes them all the more special, you know, functional racing cars.
So, I mean, there are many out there, and they range from mild to wild. But which specials, you know, if you had to choose, what would you want?
I mean, but
that's a tough one.
It's one of the most difficult. I think, honestly, I don't know if you could have asked me a more difficult car question. I swear.
Okay, you've got to choose one. You have to choose one. A man comes to you and says, "Right, come with me. We're going to the shed downtown." You have to choose one, and he's got this whole warehouse of all the tastiest homologation specials ever made. Oh, and he says to you, Nadav, you can have one.
Yeah.
One of these cars.
Yeah.
So you got to pick it, and you got to explain why.
So, okay. So, it's a very... I must say, I mean, I'll probably change my mind 17 times in the next 2 days, but one of the ways that I see it is, well, which form of motorsport and which racing series makes me most excited, and are there any homologation specials that represent that? And Group B rallying from the late 70s and 80s was just the most wild rallying. It was insane. I mean, we're talking 600 to 800 horsepower, absolutely no driver aids, four-wheel drive. It's those famous videos of people running in the middle of the road and
so
then making way.
We're talking those Lancia, what do you call it?
Exactly.
Integrales.
No.
So it's pre-integrale. So examples would
Real
be
drive
the
Audi
Quattro S1s and Lancia 037, Lancia Delta S4.
Stratos?
Stratos was pre-Group E.
So
all turbocharged monsters, there's MG Metro.
Yeah, MG Metro.
It was the heyday of rallying in certain ways, and basically was shut down completely, in order because of safety issues a few years later.
So I've got one, not in that same series.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't given you one yet.
Oh,
have
no,
I?
It hasn't.
What about
the Renault Clio Renault 5 Turbo.
Renault 5 Turbo.
Was that pre-Group B.
Was it?
Pre-Group B?
That's old.
No.
It's early 80s.
Not what sure. about, there was another one. Didn't Peugeot make a...
Yes, they did.
What is it called? Something 16.
T16.
T16,
yeah.
Oh,
so those were
I got one right.
Absolutely. Those things were absolutely... So I must say the T16 was one of the ones I was going to say was actually mentioned the 205 T16, which was a absolute monster of a tiny little car, is the size of like a coffee table.
Doesn't Stuart Grant have one of those?
He does, and it looks ridiculous in modern times. It's so small, and had a mid-mounted turbocharged V6, if I remember correctly. It was just the most insane little thing. But what makes my eyes water is the thought of a Lancia 037. So the 037 was the car that directly followed the Stratos on the rally field, and just an insane looking thing, and it's got a road version called the Stradale, and 037 Stradale is the homologation special of the 037 rally car. You'll obviously have to Google that, but my God, what a thing.
Yeah. Mm. So have you seen one in real life?
I've not seen an 037.
So I don't know if the racing series I'm going to talk about, well, I'm sure it's the same kind of thing. But I'm talking about early 90s DTM cars.
Oh, lovely. Just so, stop everything. Yeah. Oh. Mm.
Those are the best. And my pick of those would be the Alpha 155
V6.
Mm. It was like, so it was so far removed from the actual road car because it was to start with rear wheel drive. I think it was all wheel drive. I think
initially
it was all.
Initially two wheel drive and then four wheel drive. Yeah. I think you're right.
With a front mid engined V6 that revved to like 11,000 RPM or something.
But you're missing the point. We're talking about homologation specials for the road.
Oh, but they couldn't do that.
Yeah. Well, but that's the point.
That's the whole point.
None of the
you can't choose a racing car.
Can't you? That's not fun.
No, the racing car is not what you choose. We're talking about road cars.
Did a Lancia double
037 Stradale?
Did it make it to the road?
Yes. Oh, that's the point.
We're talking about
200 of them.
Yeah, we're talking about race cars.
Well, then I don't have any.
What do you mean?
How can you not have a...
Well, an Alpha 150, they did a limited edition DTM special.
No, that was
front wheel drive, and it was had a 2 liter four cylinder. Yeah, no, it wasn't the same.
Absolutely terrible. Think about it.
What else is there?
Thomas will tell us.
What other race series made it to the road?
But you were
like
right about DTM, because one of the big deals about DTM was the Mercs, the 190s. And the M3s.
Well, that's before they really got crazy.
Yeah, it was. But they had their true homologation specials. The M3 was a homologation. There's so many special parts in the E30 M3 that they needed to make it race ready for the DTM Championship.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I'm with you now.
I think the only part that that car shares with the normal 3 Series is...
Is?
Not
much. I've forgotten, actually.
Windscreen.
Was it the bonnet?
Something like that.
Someone will tell us, I'm sure. Put it in the comments below.
I should know this because I watched...
Oh, this is not YouTube, sorry.
I watched Henry Catchpole.
I also watched that.
It's a lovely series.
It is. And
all
he
the M3s.
Yeah, all the M3s. And that first car was special.
Yeah.
I've driven that car before. It was awesome.
So there is nothing else.
What's your choice,
Thomas? Let Mark think. Give him some time. What do you say?
So my choice... I went back into the 1990s.
Sure.
Because that's when I was a kid and growing up, and you know the world was a wonderful place and the future was bright, and there were cars like the 911 GT1, and the Mercedes CLK GTR, which famously flipped. Remember that at Le Mans?
Yes.
And those are part of the GT1 class.
Oh yes.
Of sports cars.
Oh yes.
And I did some digging, and I thought I'm possibly going to go with the Porsche. But then I was like, no, I found something even rarer than that. And that is 1998 Toyota GT1 road car, which was basically a road going version of the Toyota TS020.
Which is a Le Mans car.
Which is basically a Le Mans car.
Group C Le Mans car.
Kind of. And it had a.
LMP car.
A 3.
Post Group C, you're right.
It was post Group C, so it was in the GT1 class. Mm-hmm. So it was up against the 911 and the Mercedes.
That's a cool thing.
It's a very cool thing. 3.6 liter twin turbo V8, 450 kilowatts, 380 k's an hour, top speed. And basically, all they did is they took the racing car, gave it slightly higher ride height, obviously because you have to because of speed bumps and stuff.
Yeah.
And they put in climate control, smaller fuel tank, and indicators, and that was it. And they only built two of them.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So think about the fact that you could if you had enough money in the 90s, you could take a car that had effectively just won Le Mans outright and buy one and use it on the street. Yeah. Isn't that incredible?
Look at that. It's basically a Le Mans car with a number plate on.
Yeah. It is.
And climate control. It's probably...
So seeing as though I don't understand the rules of this game,
you clearly
I'm going to throw something out there and you tell me if it's wrong or right. So I'm going to say McLaren F1 GTR. Or GTR.
McLaren F1
It's a difficult one.
It's the car they raced at Le Mans.
Yeah, it was homologated. But so they homologated bits on...
Am I half right?
Race. You're half right. Yeah, they made a road version of the track version of the road version.
Okay.
So that's why it wasn't initially designed as a racing car, but they realized that it would be very successful as one, the McLaren F1. And so then they took what they learned about the F1 and on the track and then brought it back onto the road. So you're half right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if I'm half right, then let me give you another one.
Okay.
The new Ford GT.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I got one.
Lovely.
Nailed it. And that's probably my favorite.
That's pretty cool. That is really cool.
It's an incredible car.
That won its class at Le Mans.
On its 50th anniversary.
50th anniversary.
Of the Ford GT41.
You can buy one. Fantastic.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're leaving out things like, there's just, the list is endless. I mean, the Dauer 962
Porsche.
Yeah,
I was about to say, that thing is awesome. Have you seen the Dauer? Look.
Oh, I mean, E30 M3, 190E 2.3 Cosworth, all of these, the Sierras and
Subaru Impreza.
Subaru Imprezas from Rally.
22B STI.
These are all the Tommy Mäkinen Mitsubishis. These are all homologation specials.
What about the Alfa GTV 6 3 litre?
No.
No, that's not.
Ferrari 2, I know what you mean. Local racing. It might count.
They had to produce a certain amount of the cars as road cars.
So I think what fires me up so much about these cars is the fact that you get public access to what's really racing technology. Mm. You know, it's only for the elite few, the ones who qualified to race. But the fact is, you can just buy it. Isn't that awesome?
Well, that stolen Ferrari, the 288 GTI, which we talked about in the news segment, that was a homologation, and it was built for Group B.
So that never really worked out.
Yeah, because it was banned.
And then the F40 was supposed to be that as well, and that didn't work out either. So in the end, the GTO was actually just a reprise of the GTO name of the first homologation special, which was the 250 GTO.
It's just so much.
I think I've been out anoracked.
This is a subject that I'm like, this is very close to my heart. Very, very, very.
Well, Panos, do you like that? The Panos.
Can you buy a Panos?
Esperante.
Really?
GTR
Panos,
one?
Are you sure you're saying that right?
Yeah. They're racing car chassis manufacturer for Le Mans.
Sure.
Yeah.
Very cool.
The list is endless.
No. Sorry about the anarchiness, but
no, it's good stuff. I've learned something.
So what are you choosing at the end of all that?
Alpha 159.
Alpha 159.
The wrong one. The one that's not allowed to be chosen. But I just love that car.
Yeah. The one that said DTM on it, but didn't really homologate.
Yeah. It's just like a sticker. It's like me buying a
Nürburgring sticker.
Yes.
Okay.
But they had one. They had the Opel OPC Nürburgring edition. There you go.
Oh, very good. Exactly.
Oh, it sounds exactly the same. Yeah.
Well, guys, I think somewhere on one of the social media channels on Twitter, you can find us. Hit us up on Instagram. We check our Instagram a lot.
We do.
Check it out. It's @cargumentative. Tell us what homologation specials we forgot about.
Which ones you like.
What do they say on YouTube? Hit subscribe.
Hit subscribe and hit the bell.
And hit the bell so you get notifications.
We watch waiting.
We don't have any of that stuff.
See, there's even a Pajero.
Special mention to Dave Orlio for the Pajero Evo.
Did those ever come here?
Yeah.
Not officially, no.
From Mozambique.
There are one or two in the country. So that's a Pajero that was homologated for the Paris-Dakar rally, which is also amazing.
It is amazing.
You can buy that. That's
how much
amazing.
Are they, do you think?
I don't know.
Cheapest chips.
I think in the 300s.
Your chips and my chips are very different chips. And on that note, we're going to have another break and we'll be back shortly.
Join me, Paul Ash, in a beautiful soundscape as we explore the world in the Sunday Times Travel Podcast. Find it at sundaytimes.co.za.
Welcome back to Cargumentative. Gents, I can see you're very excited, Mark.
Very.
Because you're not yawning yet.
Mark's face is priceless.
Because we've got a brand new segment. And it's called,
what's it called, Tom?
It's called Fling, Marry, or Push Off a Cliff. Ah. And this is inspired by a drinking game that producer Paige plays with her girlfriends.
Often.
On, like, sleepover nights. But it's called something else, which isn't radio-friendly.
So how do we play?
But
so
they do it with men.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. Terrible.
Movie stars.
Like pieces of meat.
Yeah. So what are the rules?
So the rules are, each one of us have to put forward three cars, okay?
To the other two.
Yeah.
One of us to the other two.
Yeah, so we basically, we're going to be presenting our three cars, okay? And they're all kind of, they're all vaguely similar. And then you have to choose one that you have a one drive stand with.
Two, drive it once, you can never drive it again.
And you slam it hard.
Yeah.
Drive it like you,
but you like you style it, but you'll never drive it again.
Yeah. Okay. So a one drive stand. Two, you have to marry. So that's going to be your...
It's your car for the rest of your
until
life.
Until it falls apart. And three, one, you have to push off a cliff.
Okay. All right, this is going to be good. I've got three cars already.
All right.
Do you want to go?
I can.
Okay. Good.
All right. So I'll just name the three cars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you guys have to decide.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, and they all have to be in the same kind of class of car.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
give or take.
Makes it more difficult if they're very similar.
All right, I think I'll go three. Number one.
Yeah.
Golf GTR. Okay. Tom's already shaking his head.
I have to change my list quickly.
No. Number two, BMW 235i. Number three, Nadav, you might like this one. Renault Megane RS. Mm. It's tough, eh? It's easy for me, though.
Just say it again.
Golf GTR.
Yeah.
BMW 235i.
Mm-hmm.
Renault Megane RS, the new one.
Mm.
The new one?
The new one.
Oh, that makes it hard.
Does, eh?
Oh, it was easy before. Okay.
What is the last one? Sorry, I got so burned off.
Seriously,
course.
Can one of our listeners phone in and tell Thomas to wake up? Golf GTR.
Yes.
BMW 235i.
Yes.
The new Renault Megane RS. All of those are actually new. So 240, sorry.
Yeah.
Golf GTR, BMW 240, Renault Megane RS.
Right.
New one.
Thomas?
Which is not great.
Yeah. Which one would you marry?
Mm-hmm.
Which one would you drive once, like you stole it? And which one would you push off a cliff?
Okay, first one to go, well, the one I'd push off a cliff would be the Golf GTI. Just because they're everywhere and it's like the default. The
most brilliant car.
I know, don't argue. Don't argue.
Okay.
Don't argue.
Okay.
This is his opinion.
I'm tired of them.
It's terrible. We have to change
I'm
his
tired
opinion.
Of it. Like, everybody has one. Golf's, I love you, but you're off the cliff. one drive stand, BMW. Because I'd like to make that car hurt, and I probably think I could break it. And marry.
Well, you got to marry the Renault.
Yeah, there you go.
You would really marry the Renault.
Yeah.
Wow. Your deep pockets, my friend.
Says the man driving a
what?
An Alfa.
It's one of them.
Yeah, except just one. We could go on one.
Okay,
right,
and
so given the same list, it's easy for me who I'm going to push off the cliff. That 235, 240 is. I'm gonna use something else to push it so far off the cliff.
Crazy.
That it just splinters into a million pieces, including its horrible M-badge grill. I never want to see another one of those again. So that's easy. Mm. The other two is more difficult because if you'd said the previous generation Megane RS, I would marry that.
But I didn't.
There's no question. I would be happy to drive that as the only car for the rest of my life. It is brilliant.
Good car.
But the new one is a disappointment.
It
and
is.
Now you've left me with something that is predictable and dependable and yet quite fun. So I'll probably marry the GTR and have a fling with the Renault. What do you say?
Yeah, I think that's cool. Do I get to choose as well?
Yeah, well, you have to.
You have
to. Your list.
Yeah.
All right, so I'd definitely marry the Golf, push the Renault off a cliff, and whip the 235.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Has to be in that order.
Well, about that.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we've got something in common. We just reversed the other two.
Yeah, we
both
did.
Take the 235 on a one car. What? One drive stand.
One drive stand.
I like that.
Okay. I'm gonna ramp it up a little bit in terms of budget.
Okay.
Okay. If you guys don't mind.
No, it's fine. It's fantasy.
And
so.
There's gonna be a little bit of heresy here. A little bit of controversy.
Heresy.
Not heresy. A little bit of controversy. these cars are untouchable, yeah. Some of them.
Sacred cars.
Yes, exactly. So, the list is as follows. Ferrari 288 GTO. Mm. Ferrari F40. Porsche 959.
Wow. Mm. Oh, that is... Shit, that's...
Yeah.
That's hectic.
I wasn't going to make it easy.
Who's going first?
I'm going to go first.
Okay.
All right, okay. First, well, the one that's going to go off the cliff.
Oof. One of them has to go off the cliff.
Oh, my God.
It hurts. It hurts, right?
That hurts.
And yeah. I want Mike and Mark to both be there.
Oh, that's amazing, Thomas.
As I smile for one of the first times in my life and slide it into neutral and gently roll it. It's going to be the Ferrari F40. I'm sorry, guys. It's off there.
You could use the wing to push it in.
I will.
Yeah.
That's exactly what
like a shopping trolley. Yeah. It's actually quite convenient. Yeah.
In fact,
I can't believe those words come out of your mouth.
I'll have my early morning coffee on top of it.
Spill some.
And then, oops. I know how to fix this. Just push it off the cliff.
You just rolled a Ferrari F40 off a cliff.
Yeah.
It was perfectly good.
And yeah. You're smiling about it as well.
Smiling. Sadistically.
Okay. Someone changed the fuel tanks last year. You don't even have to worry about that.
Yeah, but they're broken already because they're more than a year old. So.
Okay.
Okay, one drive stand. Definitely the 288 GTI.
Oh, he's so predictable.
It's probably the only Ferrari I really like.
God, covered that thing.
I had a model as well of when my mom went to Italy when I was young.
Mm.
She brought me back... A Barago.
Barago 288 GTO?
Yeah.
I mean, we all had one.
A Barago 288 GTO and a Benetton Formula One.
Absolutely.
And I loved that Ferrari. It was just so cool. Oh. And, you know, as I got older, I flipped it upside down and said 288 GTO. And then I learned more about it. And I was like, wow, this car is quite special. So definitely that.
Okay.
Very cool. And, you know, marriage. Me and Porsche, we're tight like that. A 959. It's going to do everything well. It's the consummate all-rounder.
Okay.
Great after market support and, you know, just...
In the Dove's words, it's your opinion. You're entitled to
Mark
it.
Disagrees.
Completely.
Mark disagrees. So, Mark?
This is really a tough one.
It's so hard, yeah.
It's really tough, but you can't push a Ferrari off a cliff.
Of course you can.
No, you can't.
Why?
So, I'd push the Porsche off the cliff in the hope that it would survive. But yeah, out of those,
it'll probably be worth rebuilding. That's how much they're worth these days.
Exactly. So. Yeah, and I'd have to, and then one drive standard have to be the F40, and the keeper is the 288.
Really?
Yeah,
that's very interesting.
Because it's gorgeous.
Oh, it's so pretty.
It's gorgeous, and you get to wake up to that every day for the rest of your life.
It is a fantastic car.
It's gorgeous. It's got a phenomenal motor, gated shifter.
Yeah, but all Ferraris have got.
Not all Ferraris have got gated shifters, but that one does. What's not to love? It's a turbocharged Ferrari that shoots flames. It's amazing.
Doesn't the GTO have the same engine as the F40, or aren't they similar?
It's derived from each other.
Yeah.
It's a 2.8, and the F40 is a 2.9.
Okay.
But, it's really a tough one, the Dove. That was...
So what did you do?
You get to look at that bum for the rest of, in your garage for the rest of it. Oh, my God.
Yes. Those little stalked... Side mirrors. Oh,
and the gearbox sticking out the back.
Oh, mm-hmm. Pumpkin.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Pumpkin. So, all right. So, I had to think about this hard because it's, like I said, it's heresy.
It's ridiculous.
But,
heresy.
But, I agree with Mark.
Ready? You'd do the same thing?
I would.
Come on, guys.
So, the 959 goes, but there is a but. So, the 959 goes over the cliff. It's just too sensible, you know.
It's not going to break.
It's not going to break.
You can drive it every day, and it's not going to give you, like, shit.
It goes over the cliff, and then the F40, you know, we know it's amazing, but, you know, if it's one night with one of them, it's got to be the F40, so that could keep the 288 GTO forever.
Yeah.
But.
There's no but.
There's a but. That all changes depending on the 959.
He's going to go to Canada.
Yeah. If there was a 959S from the factory, or a 959 SC from Canepa in the US, that rebuilds them and modifies them almost like a singer, but at triple the price.
Sure.
And
how many horsepower?
Between 700 and 800, as Sir chooses. Now things are very, very different, because the thing about the F40 and the 288 is just how wild they are. And now you basically took a 959 and added wild, where before it was the sensible choice. So it's still going to be strong, still not going to break, and it's also going to be wild. Wow, what a thing. And you can get it in metallic green. Yes, please.
Okay. Yeah, it looks beautiful in that color.
Oh, okay, fine. So then,
okay,
who's
so
next?
It's me. No. Last man standing. Okay, guys, fling, marry, or push the cliff. Toyota Prius. Lexus C200H.
This happen?
Or a Honda Insight.
No, this is unbelievable. This is like my worst nightmare.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone gives me those three cars.
South Africa's worst marriages.
I cannot believe those are my choices.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is the hardest one of
honestly, if someone said that to me, I'm suicidal.
I think it's worth just saying them again.
Yeah, but I don't know what any of these things
totally
are.
You totally scraped the bottom of the barrel here. Unbelievable.
He
how did you manage
screwed
this?
It up because he mentioned. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Toyota Prius.
A Toyota Prius, a Lexus CT200H.
Which one is this? What is that?
It's the hybrid.
That's the hatch one that Thomas covets.
That very ugly one.
It's not
it's
ugly.
A Prius it's underneath nice. With
the
a Lexus
boxy
on
one.
Top. Yeah.
No, it's not boxy. It's nice. Boxy. It looks like a ninja's helmet.
That's a
and helmet, I mean, on
a
your head.
Ninja's helmet.
Which Honda Insight?
I didn't think you would mean any other
lines.
I need
a Honda Insight.
I need detail. Which
is the Honda Insight? Is that like the Prius?
Which Insight?
With a different badge. The Insight is the Prius with a
no, that's
Honda,
Honda
badge.
Well, yeah, it is.
So that's
no, wait. Which Insight?
Honda Insight.
Which one? There were two. The original one.
It can be the original one.
The first one. No, it's a big deal.
Can owners actually tell the difference between the two?
Okay, fine.
Okay. Toyota Prius, Lexus CT200H, or an original Honda Insight.
Oh,
I'll give you that.
God. Okay, fine.
Can I go first?
Sure.
I jump off the cliff. That's fine. The only solution.
Marks out.
Yeah.
Marks
yeah.
out.
Marks out.
We're not even going to force him to
honestly,
answer.
Honestly, I jump off the cliff. Or I give them all to a poor person and I walk everywhere. I could not be caught dead in any of those cars.
Well, you might.
You're wrong.
No, I'm not.
You're very wrong.
No, you're...
Okay.
But I do have to choose three, so let me just go through the motions.
Okay.
I'll push the Honda what?
Insight.
That thing. I push that off the cliff because I don't know what it is. The Prius. Is that Prius?
Yeah.
That can be the what?
The fling car.
The fling car. And the other one.
One drive.
What's the other one? Lexus?
CT200H.
Is that the SUV?
No, it's the hatch. It's the hatch.
But
hybrid.
They don't make a hatch.
They do.
Lexus?
CT200, yes.
Is it the 4x4?
No. It's a hatchback.
A hatchback?
Yes.
Lexar?
Yes. Must I Google it for you quickly before
please
you
Google
make
it.
A concrete.
No, I've already chosen. I don't have to see it. It's
here's
terrible,
it
I'm sure. Oh. God, yeah, that fine. I'll keep that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, look, three nights.
That is the worst looking
car.
Look,
it looks like a ninja's helmet,
life.
Like a samurai.
Oh, God. It
looks nothing like any ninja helmet.
It does.
It looks like the other ninja helmet.
Okay, so.
It looks like a bell end.
Am I next?
Yeah.
Have you finished?
By default.
Complaining. Okay, so. I mean, Prius and the Lexus are the same, so who cares? Just choose one and push it off the cliff, because it makes no difference. They're both equally insipid to drive. But the Mary choice is easy. You take the Honda Insight, it's amazing. It's actually an incredible little thing.
Original Honda Insight.
The original
is very
Honda
cool.
Insight is so cool, it's ice cold. It is sub zero cool.
What?
So it was incredibly. It's even got spats on the rear wheels.
Yeah.
How cool
for
is
aerodynamics.
That? For aerodynamics. It is genuinely. It was a full on engineering exercise in lightness and fuel economy. And it worked.
Look at that.
That
what
looks
a cool
so
thing.
Terrible.
And they're incredibly
it like a
reliable.
Japanese, it looks like a Japanese Citroen.
People at home, do not Google this thing. It'll crack your computer
incredibly
screen.
Incredibly reliable. Oh, nice. Lovely thing. I would actually love one of those.
Me too.
I'll be keen
you can
it.
Have them all.
Me too, I would.
The other two, I don't care. Honestly, whatever.
Thomas, that was terrible.
It's difficult.
Why?
You
took them to the obvious choice.
You took the fun out of the game.
I didn't. It was fun.
Yeah.
You're
yeah,
like the fun police.
This is a good game, Paige. Thank you.
It was a good game. Yeah. Mike's let's do Mike's choices. Let's play what would Mike have chosen?
An Alpha 4C.
No, no, he wouldn't have. He would have chosen a VW bus.
With martini stripes.
With martini stripes.
Yeah.
Because you could fit more tequila in the
What else would he have chosen?
A Beetle.
Nah.
Or a 928.
A Boxster.
Yeah. A teal Boxster.
Teal Boxster, but it doesn't work.
Work. And, oh, and a BMW like 735.
735. Yeah. Well, we'll see. It's too bad Mark's not here.
Yeah, look, it's a game you're going to have to play again and again.
Yeah, it's fun.
It is. It is a lot of fun.
Yeah, this could work. Tell us what you think, guys.
Yeah.
Should this be a regular segment?
I think that's all we have time for.
Yeah.
It is.
In this action-packed edition of Cogumentative.
I've laughed. I've cried.
Me too.
Felt it actually has been
died
fun.
Died on the inside.
It's been fun. I laughed properly.
Yeah. Guys,
we actually
we only do this for our amusement. I don't think anyone actually listens to it.
No.
So as long as we keep ourselves entertained on a Thursday.
Yeah.
My mom does. My mom likes it. Anyway, guys, that's all we have time for. Thank you very much for joining us again on the show. And we'll be back next week for another episode of Cogumentative.
Ciao.
Bye, everyone.